if you look at the time spent by a customer service agent on a call, there is the actual talk time where you're interacting with the customer, but there is post call work or after call work, which could be anywhere between 20 to 30% of the time you spend. So you're really spending 20, 30% time documenting notes, what the client spoke, and so on and so forth. Now, AI can help you eliminate or automate a lot of that work. So what does that mean? You can talk more to your customers. You can spend more time cross-selling and upselling your products, retaining customers, delivering a stellar customer satisfaction. So making sure your employees are very clear about these use cases, they see the results, how AI can be a collaboration tool versus an enemy, can help you drive some of that production.
Just stop it. The run-of-the-mill, cheesy, humdrum bullshit status quo just tires me out. What fascinates me are the industry disruptors, the superhuman frontiersmen or women with arrows in their backs who go through hell to achieve their goals. They'll go through anything to make it. They bathe in hell and high water, a cut above. They're intolerant to mediocrity, the status quo, and yet they're the nicest people you'll ever meet. This is Disruption Interruption. Join me as we meet and learn from those mavericks, rebels, and business leaders that aren't afraid to piss off the establishment in order to make radical change for good. This show is sponsored by Johto PR, the disruptive anti-PR firm that murders your competition with cinder blocks and cyanide. Welcome back, everybody, to Disruption Interruption. I'm your host, KJ, and we're here today to talk to another industry leader that has steered off the lame, tired path of the status quo. Our guest this week is a maverick rewriting the rules in the realm of business transformation and innovation and customer service. From the corridors of renowned consultancies to the boardrooms of Fortune 500 companies, he's been a driving force behind large-scale transformation. He spearheads transformative initiatives across various industries, revitalizing underperforming businesses and orchestrating turnarounds of epic proportions. In this episode, we're going to dive deep into the profound impact of digital transformation and AI in customer service and how it is going to unlock untapped potential and drive unprecedented value in our near future. And we're going to talk about the practical application of it today. Join us as we explore the challenges and successes of disruption innovation with this trailblazer, Siddhartha Sharan.
Thanks, Kara.
Yes, you're a badass. Nice to have you.
Excited to be here, Kara. Excited to talk to your audience about what we are seeing and my personal experience working in the customer service space for now close to around 22 years.
Wow, and you don't look it. So before we get going, our audience always likes to hear from innovators and disruptors as to far as like their personal ingredient for disruptive innovation. What is that for you? And what's been that driving mantra that's driven you in your career?
Great question, Carla. For me, disruptive innovation is plainly and simply not accepting status quo. Always looking at continuous improvement and innovation, how to drive value for the business and the customers. And the fundamental principle behind it is keep it simple, try and look at the problems you're trying to solve before you come up with a solution. And then once you have the problem identified, bring in the resources, focus on execution. So that element of strategy and execution driving that balance has always helped us, me in particular, achieving successes. And, you know, ultimately, there's going to be a mix of success and failure. But the failures should never discourage you. So that's the part which is, are you determined enough to be on your failures and keep going?
Yes. You know, that's such a good point. And I love how you really say, look, you got to identify and confront the problem. That's what our audience loves. They love hearing about obviously new innovation and, you know, new disruption, but they like to understand the problems that this innovation and disruption is truly changing as far as the status quo. Now, customer service has been around for a long time. There's been a particular way of operating in customer service for the past two decades, right? And now AI is coming in and it's disrupting the space. And from what you've told me, it's the number one area that's implementing AI. So before we get in, well, let's find out why. What's been the model for the past 20 years and what is no longer workable about it and why?
I would say customer service is one of the areas particularly where typically if you look at the evolution of customer service in any organization as it grows and matures, it is about scale and efficiency. How can I scale up my capabilities to respond to customers better? How can I do it at the lowest cost point possible? And then the third element is, how do I maintain and improve my customer experience? How do I deliver a stellar customer experience? It's about throwing people at the problem, yes. A lot of companies have looked at scaling capabilities through finding talent, which wasn't an issue when labor was abundant. But as you see in the past 2-3 years, talent has been extremely difficult to find.
And very difficult to find, yes.
Therefore, there are inflationary pressures. And so ultimately, while technology was always, you know, on the top of the mind for most service executives, but due to budget constraints, it was never an option. But now it is a necessity. If you're not solving problems with technology, if you're not scaling your business, keeping technology and data capabilities at the foundation, you're not positioning your organization for long-term success. And so that's the big change.
Now, when you say big change, it's like labor is like, we have a shortage of skilled labor, right?
Yes.
And we no longer can just pour people into it. So that's one of the biggest changes, right? Okay, got it. Okay, number two.
Number two, what has happened is, as you know, technology advances have been significant. And if you look at 2022-23, AI has come up in a big way. You know, generative AI capabilities are much more advanced than what used to be, even if you go back 5 years. And so now organizations are thinking, I have this abundance of people solving problems that can I more effectively solve using technology? And so there's been a lot of interest in this space, specifically customer service, because if you look at it in any customer service organization, rule of thumb is 30 to 40% of your interactions with customers are extremely complex, needs that human touch. But if you look at the majority of the transactions, they are very repetitive. You know, you're looking at customers calling in for basic inquiries. Hey, how can I get this information? What is this product about? How can I reset my password? Can you walk me through this process or that process? So a lot of it is very, very transactional. You know, generative AI, broadly speaking, has provided a really good tool in the hands of these service executives now to solve these problems in a much more automated way. Now, that's the theory. You know, there's a lot of interest and excitement that I see in the marketplace around service leaders trying to evaluate AI. They are being pressured by their C-suite to do something about it. You know, you have a cost-based effects. How do you reduce it while improving your customer experience? How can you use technology?
What are the biggest problems in customer service right now, besides not having abundant labor, right? And then we have this huge shift in technology, right? You know, I've been reading a lot of articles and, you know, statistics and, you know, so forth about Fortune 500, Fortune 100 companies, enterprise and so forth. And while they see the need for AI, you know, there is quite a gap in being able to deliver this practically and not feeling like they have the skill set or expertise or even the infrastructure or understanding how to implement it, right? And so you have this big cost center of customer service, right? And then you have these particular issues of no more labor abundance, right? What are the biggest challenges in implementing AI to help with these particular problems?
Yeah. And if I were to maybe step back and sort of look at it more macro level. So if you look at US market as an example, if you look at the amount of money that's spent on building customer service contact centers as an example, it's north of $100 billion. You know, reports I've read is fluctuating. The figures fluctuate between $80 to $90 billion to right up to $120 to $130 billion. So at the macro level, it is not an insignificant amount of spend. If you look at it at an organization level, usually customer service comes up as one of the top 3 to 5 areas of spend. And so it is a big cost center for any company. The reason why customer service gets a lot of pressure is because it's an area of spend. So customer service is one of the top 3 to 5 areas of spend. Organizations view it as a cost center rather than a value center.
Mm.
So the transition between cost to value, you asked me the question, what is the biggest challenge? That to me is the number one challenge for customer service leaders. How do I take it from a tactical customer retention tool to more of a revenue growth lever? And so now you look at the context of what capabilities AI and technology provide you. There's that productivity element. How do I make myself more efficient? Yes, that's always there. But how do I use these capabilities to drive revenue growth, customer retention, customer promotion? How do I increase my net promoter score in my customer service organization? So those are some of the imperatives. And that's where AI and technology in general can play a big role. So now let's go to reality.
Yes, let's go. I mean, that's actually a really significant challenge, right? Yeah. Going from cost center to a value center, you know, and how to do that, right? Yeah.
That's exactly right. And I think because of the pressure, a lot of organizations are scrambling with experimentation, right? Let's get a few pilots going. Let's show traction. Let's show progress. And so they're talking to multiple product vendors. You know, any customer service leader I speak to has talked to the big ones, you know, OpenAI, Google, Amazon. So they're talking to all these vendors, and each of these vendors are bringing their own capabilities. So there's a lot of confusion. There's an excitement in the marketplace. Look, there are these cool tools, but there's also a confusion about how to get started. And so there's that scrambling experimentation of let's go a few pilots going, let's see where this goes from here. Some of the pilots have been very successful. In fact, there are published statistics available where AI and generative AI in particular has powered almost between 10 to 20% productivity improvement. So that's not insignificant.
And when you say that 10 to 20% in productivity improvement, is that in customer service? Is that just overall industries, or what is that?
So 10 to 20% productivity improvement in customer service in a range of industries. So that's not insignificant. That could
it's not.
Now, that's what your pilot shows, but how do you scale it?
Yeah.
And that's where the big challenge around adoption maturity comes in. You need a really well-articulated vision and strategy on how you're going to use AI in your organization. What is the value you're going to derive? Because ultimately, what you want is avoiding confusion within your organization.
Confusion only causes more cost. A lot more cost. A lot more customers, yeah.
Confusion causes cost. Confusion also causes slowdown because you're not able to translate your initial success into sustained value because you don't have the buy-in within your organization. So a clearly articulated vision and strategy, that's point number one. Start with that. Customer service leaders should be very clear on, here's what we're going to do. Here's the business problem we're going to solve through technology, AI, generative AI. And then communicate that message very clearly to your organization, not just to your leaders, but also to your employees, because that helps you create that initial buy. Point number one. Point number two, generative AI is a great tool, but it's also a very risky tool. So when I say risky, because first, you might have heard about hallucination. That's a very well-known problem. In fact, a great example, I was creating an email using generative AI tools. I was using ChatGPT, and the tool ChatGPT drafted an email for me. And then it used the date, which was June 10th, in the email, but got the weekday wrong. Used Friday. So it's not making the correlation between that June 10th is actually a Monday this year. So those are some of the basic problems you run into. There's inaccuracy, there's hallucination with these tools. And therefore, you have to be very, very careful on how you use AI, one, to support your own employees, but also your broader customer base. And what we are seeing in the marketplace is a lot of organizations, especially that are risk averse, are using those tools internally to mature those capabilities, put it in front of your employee, test it out, scale it, mature it, and then get it in front of your customers.
Do you find that that is something that's successful, or do you find that that particular step is out sequence as to what they should be doing, considering the hallucinations? And, you know, I could see them trying to get like buy-in, right? Because that's a big challenge in itself, right? But what do you feel like is the benefit or harm in doing that?
I think the benefit is certainly that the pilot to scaling is much more risk averse. You're building capabilities and gradually maturing your internal AI capabilities as you deploy it within your customer service. You test, you experiment, you use your employees to refine it so that the employees also feel a lot more involvement. And, adoption is much more sustainable. And then once you mature these capabilities, you take it in front of your clients. We see that as much more risk averse and also a tried and tested approach when you look at technology implementations in the past. The flip side is speed. Speed of sometimes your customers are wondering, why is this organization not offering those customer service capabilities that I see all across the market? So there is constant pressure from your leaders to take capabilities to your customers. How are you serving your customers using AI? But I think the organizations that will succeed in the long term are the ones that are building foundational infrastructure and capabilities that can power the right experiences for your employees and your customers. Those capabilities are data. You need to have really solid, high-quality data. I talked about strategy and vision. So ensuring that you have the right problems that you're trying to solve, not spreading yourself too thin or trying to do too much. Break it down in chunks, achieve small successes, and then build and capitalize from there. So anyone who's taking a very thoughtful, risk-averse, but methodical execution approach are the ones that will succeed in the future.
Right. And it may be a slow start for them, but it will accelerate and speed up.
It will accelerate and speed up. Yeah. And I think because, generative AI is the one that is the most hyped tool today. But if you look at AI in general, it's a much broader ecosystem of technologies. AI is not just about generative AI. Machine learning, natural language processing, your computer vision, and a lot of other capabilities. So when you look at it more holistically, you realize AI is just a tool. Ultimately, the resource that you have, the natural resource, the power of your organization is the data. What data do you have on your customers? How deep is that data? How well entrenched are you in your ecosystem, in your market? Take an example of healthcare. A lot of patient engagement companies today, the ones that are growing at the fastest pace, are the ones that have the best data on their patients. They have claims data, they have consumption data, they have medical information about their patients. And so the more 360-degree view of your customers, and in this case, patients you have, the better data you have. Now, once you have that natural resource, then you can apply all the mining tools, all the AI, to bring the right insights to your business. So anyone who's taking that foundational approach of I'm going to take this slow, I'm going to build the right capabilities, is again going to succeed in the longer term.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like that people have this FOMO, fear of missing out? So they go too fast and they, you know, jumpstart the processes and get involved in it. And then these AI pilots, like I know some of them are very successful, but some of them are not. So, right.
And there's an element of experimentation when any new technology comes to the market. So we certainly don't discourage clients from experimentation. That's all good. I mean, pilots are a great way to get started. You have a proof of concept. You need to be incremental in your approach. You cannot go all in. So yes, experimentation is a part of how you initiate transformation. But then experimentation needs to ultimately step into scaling and maturity.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to build that, go back to the same point, which is you need to have the right foundation in place. You need to have the right strategy and buy-in in your organization. So ensure that you're looking at it more holistically versus I'm going to initiate 5 pilots and see where I go from there.
Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, you mentioned one of the biggest challenges is employee pushback, communicating, you know, and getting buy-in from that. What have you been seeing and experiencing along this line in the customer service realm?
Yeah, it's interesting you ask that question, because customer service, the profile of people or the talent that you get for customer service is really at the relatively lower end of your typical corporate profile. I mean, there are organizations that are barely paying their employees above minimum wages for a customer service role. And the kind of work that they are doing is extremely transactional. And so if you put yourself in the position of such an individual who's probably doing a couple of jobs to make their ends meet, and then you have this cool AI technology that can take away 30 to 50% of that work, ultimately, it's going to cause concerns.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is where organizations need to be very clear that AI is not a capability in itself unless you have a human being paired with it. It is a collaboration tool. Even when you're looking at productivity and efficiency, it is no different than, let's say you use Microsoft Office and MS Word to quickly, you know, create documentation. It's a productivity tool. And so it helps you make you do your job faster, more effectively, so that you can do the value add work versus the transactional work, working across systems, copy pasting data, you know, putting in copious notes in the system. So as an example, since you asked, customer service, if you look at the time spent by a customer service agent on a call, there is the actual talk time where you're interacting with the customer, but there is post-call work or after-call work, which could be anywhere between 20 to 30% of the time you spend. So you're really spending 20, 30% time documenting notes, what the client spoke, and so on and so forth. Now, AI can help you eliminate or automate a lot of that work. So what does that mean? You can talk more to your customers. You can spend more time cross-selling and upselling your products, retaining customers, delivering a stellar customer satisfaction. So making sure your employees are very clear about these use cases, they see the results, how AI can be a collaboration tool versus an enemy, can help you drive some of that production.
Do you find that organizations are doing a good job of communicating this and doing these internal campaigns to get people to see this? Or is that something that still needs to be worked on quite a bit?
Most leaders, 80% of the leaders that I talk to have the right vision. They mm-hmm. completely aligned with, yes, this needs to be done. But it's the execution where either they don't have the resources or the time to prioritize that employee engagement, which is where they either need to get outside help sometimes, or, you know, put dedicated focus in driving that adoption. And that adoption is typically best driven internally. What we see is there are champions within your own organization who are great adopters of the tool. There's some employees that have gravitated towards using AI in their jobs. Use them as examples to illustrate. That creates more trust, more collaboration within your teams, and can help you drive it on an ongoing basis. But I think it's in a matter of, if you take it as a priority, if they are supposed to spend, if leaders are supposed to spend 30%, 40% of their time driving adoption, they're probably spending less than 10% of their time, which is where the gap is.
Yeah, that's a significant gap. So this is the number one area that AI is being implemented, one of the number one areas. And there are like results of, you know, improvements, right, to 10 to 20%. Where do you see, I mean, AI is changing things so fast, right? And in your, you know, practical use of it, what do you see happening in the next 1 to 3 years implementing AI in customer service?
Yes, I think there's a sense of hype within customer service. It is clearly one of the top three areas, now number one, where there are abundant number of solutions available in the market. So if you see the number of startups in the customer service space, it is unbelievable the number of new products that I see on a monthly basis. So there's a lot of activity. There's also established players that have clearly pivoted towards using generative AI within their own product suite. So when you look at Salesforce or some of the big enterprise platforms, they are adopting Gen AI in their own product suite. So now these are capabilities that are available within your own platforms. And in any customer service organization, you would see some of the top players like Salesforce, Zendesk, and all of these platforms are including Gen AI capabilities. So that's good news, because rather than investing, experimenting on your own, there are off-the-shelf capabilities that you can now use to implement within customer service. I think in the next 1 to 3 years, there's going to be a bit of a disillusionment that will come in as customers find initially encouraging results, customer service leaders find initially encouraging results, but are not able to scale capabilities. And there are two or three big factors why they might fail. One of them, as I said, is foundational capabilities around data. You know, do you have the right high quality data in place? Do you have the right talent to execute? Not a lot of customer service leaders have the right resources at hand. Their IT teams are busy solving the tactical issues. Do you have the right talent to execute on what you need to? Talent is going to be a big factor. And thirdly, just in terms of resources and investments, there are a number of priorities. How are you going to garner investments? If you're going to spend a medium to large size organization, could easily spend in millions of dollars to build these capabilities. Do you have those resources? And so resources is also going to be a big challenge. So there's going to be a bit of slowdown, but ultimately in the next 1 to 3 years, we will see the customer service space completely transformed. And my hypothesis is the opportunity here is 50 to 70% of interactions can be automated in the customer service space.
Sid, wow. That's a wow statistic.
That is a wow statistic. And I feel we have only scratched the surface. And the organizations that will succeed will take that more holistic approach. Gradual successes versus disrupting on day one. So anyone who has a 3-year time frame to achieve success are the ones that are doing the right things. Anyone who's trying to do this in 2024 is probably being a bit too aggressive.
Good point. Very good point. So tell our audience a little bit about you. I mean, you're the practice leader, right, of customer service advisory. And, you know, you work in customer service. You've been in customer service for decades. You know, what is your role and what is your day-to-day and your purpose in helping companies with customer service?
Yeah, to give you a brief background about myself, roughly 22 years in customer service. I've spent a lot of time in consulting as well as running a customer service business as a general manager in my previous life. And so in these 22 years, I've worked with clients of all sizes, you know, Fortune 500 companies to down to startups that are just scaling their capabilities. So, and I've worked across industries, life sciences, healthcare, financial services, utilities. And so this is a space that I'm really passionate about. And, I do feel the part that excites me on a day-to-day basis is that there's so much opportunity, not just in terms of how technology and AI is used, but in general, a lot of organized, if I were to take a 1 to 5 maturity scale, in terms of 1 being you're really at the throes of early stages of building capabilities versus 5, which is where you are leading best in class. Most of the organizations rest somewhere between 2 to 3. And that's the big opportunity. There's so much more you can do. You remember the cost to value transition. It's such a complicated problem. It's not an easy problem to solve, but that's the exciting part. If you can drive yourself from a cost center to a value center, the amount of value you can deliver as a customer service organization to your business is immense.
It's immense. And that's what you do. You know, is it too early to say like the success, like the practical success that you're seeing in this, like without mentioning names or, you know, anything, but taking from cost centric to value centric? Is there something that you can speak to, or is it too early right now?
No, I think there's some fundamental building blocks, around that cost to value transition, what the service model of the future would look like. You know, I talked about strategy and operating model. So you need to have the right, customer experience strategy, goals and objectives clearly defined. You need to have the right structure in place. Where does the customer service organization report within your organization?
Is there anybody that's doing that really well right now?
I mean, customer service, there are some very well-known names that everyone aspires to be. When we've looked at, and each industry has its own stalwarts. Airlines, we talk about Delta, United, they're great.
Financial services. Are they using AI right now to enhance their customer service? And are they doing a good job with it?
Yes. Everyone, now it's difficult to say whether they're doing a good job.
Okay, yeah.
Talking about it. And they are, every top organization has a strategy to infuse AI in the customer service. If you talk about banking, you have American Express, that's considered a stalwart great customer service. In the retail space, you have a number of folks that do great work. Zappos is considered the stalwart customer service as well. So there are a number of players.
Gotcha. So it's really starting at the top, and it's going to be trickling down to the smaller players.
Yes. Ultimately, your customer service has to sort of align with what your overall go-to-market strategy is. What level of customer experience are you trying to deliver? And it's less about just what you do in the contact center, but a broader strategy across all channels. How are you delivering customer service through your mobile app, through your website? What is the customer experience holistically? So there's a broader customer experience strategy that organizations need to think of.
Yeah. Yeah. Great. Great feedback. Is there any food? Well, first of all, tell our audience how they get a hold of you, Sid.
Yeah. My official email ID is sharad@vestmanroto.com. Actually, delete that. I should not be providing my email ID. But I'm on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active. So your audience can certainly reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm pretty responsive. Happy to have a chat or a discussion with whoever's interested.
Yes. And I will tell everyone, he's very responsive on LinkedIn for sure. And he is very passionate about customer experience. And if you're really interested in finding out and getting through all of the challenges implementing practical AI, you should talk to Sid. Sid, what's food for thought that you want to leave people with regarding customer experience? You've said a lot of things, right? Just how big the industry is in the U.S. on a macro level, how much efficiency has been driven so far, you know, the big mic drop of the efficiency that's really going to happen in the next 1 to 5 years. What's food for thought that you want to leave our listeners with?
If I were to leave a few takeaways, one, I would say keep the business problem in mind. Keep your customers in mind. You know, customer first attitude always helps. So any innovation that you're driving has to be customer centric. That's number one. Number two is be realistic in your expectations. It's not going to be a slam dunk. There's a lot of problems you need to solve for, including people, process, technology, data, your customers and your business. So you have to look at it more holistically. So this is not going to be an easy journey. And thirdly, you know, the best organizations and the best leaders engage their employees, create that buy-in, engage their leadership for the sponsorship, engage their customers for feedback. And so think of it as a transformation. And those fundamental principles of transformation don't change. No matter how cool the latest technology is, the old and tried and tested ways of this mitigated, phased, gradual approach to improving things always works. So keep that in mind.
That is the tipping point. Yeah, thank you so much for keeping it real, because that is the FOMO, fear of missing out. Oh, look at all these new tools. Let me get going. But you're talking about fundamental, foundational principles that if you follow, right, and you do those three steps and implement gradiently, you will be ahead of the pack.
Absolutely. Carla, this was really, really exciting. You know, hopefully this was helpful. Any other questions?
Yeah, no, this has been great. Thank you so much. I think I really understand, and I think our audience does too, customer experience, customer service, why this is the number one area that AI is being implemented, and how it really is going to help companies and the people that they employ and the customers and our economy. Thank you so very much.
Thanks, Carla.
That's a wrap, everyone. If you learned something today, and I know you did, go tell someone about this podcast and tell people to go disrupt their markets with a tidbit from this show. Thanks for listening to Disruption Interruption, where we transform lives, change consumer behavior, alter economics, and never accept the status quo. Ciao for now.
Because we live in a highly litigious society, with America being one of the top litigious countries in the world, here's our legal disclaimer. This advice is not intended to be a substitute for professional public relations or legal advice. Do not disregard seeking professional legal healthcare or financial advice, or delay seeking professional PR or legal advice because of something you have heard here. Contact an attorney to obtain advice on any particular legal issue or problem. Use of this podcast or our website or any of its social media or email links do not create an agency-client relationship between JOTO PR and the user.